Jonathan and Tammy were a good Christian couple, always in church, always having a life devoted to the Lord. But you know, they struggled a lot financially. Jonathan had a job. He was a waiter in a fairly nice restaurant, but didn't make a whole lot of money. And with two kids, things were pretty tight. They certainly lived from paycheck to paycheck. Where they were so excited, they were finally able to buy a house. They were finally qualified to get into a house, out of apartment life now. But unfortunately, about 5 weeks after they were in to their house, Jonathan, on his way home from work one night, was killed by a drunk driver. Tammy and the family, the kids were devastated, of course. Then reality struck Tammy. Here I am, a mother, two kids, not even of the teenage years yet, and I'm their sole provider. How are we going to make it? She always answered the question, how are you going to make it? Are you going to be okay? And she always said these words, the Lord will provide. The Lord will give us what we need. Well, how can you be sure? How can you know for sure that the Lord will provide, that your needs will be taken care of? And she said, well, God promises it. And these words from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that we just heard Joel read a few minutes ago. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Those things referring back to, you know, food and clothing, the things that we need to survive in life. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to get all of our wants, all the things that we think that we need, you know, that bigger house or that new car or those things that we think we deserve and what we want. But God will provide us with the necessities of life, the food, the clothing, the things that are needed. God has promised that to us, and he is a God who keeps his promises 100% of the time. Now, he doesn't promise that, we will have those things that we think we want. And in fact, we want to be careful here not to think that, okay, if we can afford, you know, a big new house and we can afford that new car and God's blessed us with that, that we're better Christians than the other people who can't. Or that, you know, if we're struggling financially, then it must be that, you know, I've done something wrong in God's eyes and, you know, he's making me suffer and pay for this and struggle through life. That's not what God is promising. God promises to provide for our needs, the necessities to survive. And we have a God who keeps his promises 100% of the time. Not half the time, not three-quarters of the promises. God keeps his promises 100% of the time. I mean, think in the Bible, all the examples that God keeps his promises. Abraham was promised that he's going to be the descendant. He's going to have as many descendants as stars in the sky, as sand on the seashore. And God made this promise to him when he's like 100 years old. God kept that promise. God promises not to destroy the earth by means of a flood again. After Noah and his family were saved in the ark, there's the rainbow. And every time we see a rainbow, we're reminded of God's promise that he's not going to destroy the earth by means of a flood again. God's promises are kept. We think about all the promises he made to send a Messiah, to send the Savior to the world. And about 2,000 years ago, those promises were fulfilled, were kept in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the New Testament is full of promises made by God. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says. He's going to be with us all the time as he sends us his Holy Spirit to indwell into our hearts. God keeps that promise. As Jesus ascends up into heaven, lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. God is always with us. We can trust his promises to be true 100% of the time. Why is it that we then worry? Why is it that we worry about, you know, those things of life, those necessities, or maybe not even the necessities, but why is it that we worry about maybe other things? Am I going to have enough to retire? I just don't know. I'm anxious about it. How am I ever going to pay for my kids' college? Is it going to be okay? Are we going to make it financially? We worry, don't we? We worry and are anxious about those things in life. But God says, you're in my hands. We can put our trust in him. He does provide. But we find ourselves worrying because our hearts are evil. Our insides, our hearts are not turned toward God. In fact, the scriptures have some pretty negative things to say about our hearts. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9, he says it this way. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's beyond cure. So who can understand it? It's deceitful. The heart, what's inside of us, is deceitful above. It's the most deceitful thing. It's the highest form of deceitfulness, I guess. The heart. Jesus even says it in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. He says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Things like murder, adultery, theft, and the list goes on. Jesus says the stem of where those terrible sins come from are from the heart. That's the root of that evil. It stems from our thoughts, from our heart. Not great news about our hearts, is it? Our hearts are not turned, certainly, toward God. But in fact, scriptures even tell us we're like spiritually dead. We are turned to be children of Satan rather than children of God. And our hearts are not certainly devoted to God. But that's what God wants from us, isn't it? God wants our devotion. God wants us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God wants our devotion. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about money. It's like one of the most popular subjects in the Bible is money. But yet it's interesting, isn't it, that God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. It's all his in the first place. He doesn't need or he doesn't even want our money. But what God wants is our devotion. God wants our lives to put him above everything else, to make him numero uno in our life. Everything should stem around God, and we can totally put our lives in him. We can totally trust him. We can be fully devoted and hand it all over to God. He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He wants to be first in our life. But yet that stuff, those material things sometimes get in our way, don't they? Of truly devoting our lives to God, that those things can get in our way. And they hinder us from truly devoting our lives to God. You think Satan doesn't use things to get in the way to pull us away from God? You know, most of us, I'll venture to guess, all of us here this morning, we don't sit around and think, okay, should I worship God this morning or should I worship Satan? We're here to worship God. We know that we are here to worship God. That's not the issue. But Satan puts these other desires into our hearts. Oh, we don't have it as good as the Joneses next door. Why doesn't God let us have, look at that new car over there. That stuff, those things can get in the way of our true devotion to God. And even greed then can step in. One of the seven deadly sins is greed. But yet, we know it's a problem. Americans know that greed is a problem. A recent poll, actually, even a couple of years ago, said that greed is actually the number one issue, the number one problem with American culture is greed. But yet, those same people surveyed, only 70% of those people don't see themselves as greedy. So 7 out of 10 of us Americans don't see ourselves as greedy, but yet greed is a huge number one problem in the culture of America. Because we look at, you know, I'm not a greedy person. I mean, look at that pro athlete. They make $8 million a year, and they that's not enough for them. They want to make 10. Or look at that, you know, that singer. $6 million a year, and they want to make 12 next year. Those greedy people, huh? And we don't see ourselves as greedy. And perhaps we're not, but yet we want to ask the question, you know, does God see us as greedy? And maybe not to that extent, but we can even ask that question, does stuff get in our way of truly devoting ourselves to God? And what is it that gets in the way of my life? What is it that gets in the way of your life that is stopping you or that is hindering you from totally devoting your life to God, from putting Him first above all things? What is it in our life that gets in the way, that Satan or our evil heart can throw in the way of truly devoting ourselves to God? You know, it's not just about stuff that we can be greedy for. It can be about power or popularity or our egos. All those things can get in the way. Other stuff besides money we can greed after. And that stuff can get in the way of our devotion to our God. And so we want to say, Lord, I want to put You first. I want to love You above all things. You are my God, and I'm going to serve and praise You because You bless me. You have blessed me, providing for me, giving me my Savior Jesus. The Lord will provide. We can even put our finances in His hands. We can put all we have into His hands and say, Lord, it's Yours anyway. You own everything. We're managers of what You have given to us. I give it to You, Lord. It's Yours. We can totally trust in Him. Well, back to Tammy. Tammy, that young mother who was basically penniless. They lost their house, but yet the Lord continued to provide for them. Tammy was able to get a job. She was able to be home when her kids would come home from school because she worked from 5 a.m. till about 2 in the afternoon at a local diner as a waitress. They were happy. The Lord continued to provide for them. The kids grew up, moved off on their own, but then got word that their mother had passed away. They came back and saw in her apartment not much stuff. They weren't surprised, the kids weren't surprised to just find a small TV, a couple of chairs, a few books, a few dishes, plates, a little bit of clothing in the closet, but that was basically about all the things that she had. And she asked, she had a note, and the family requested that the title of her message for her memorial service was, "The Lord Provided." You see, the Lord not only provided for that family here on earth, as the Lord does for us, but ultimately, He's going to provide a mansion for us in heaven. As we know Him as our Lord and our Savior, as the one who has wiped away all of our sins, as we put our trust in Him, as we believe Him, and He is our personal Savior, we know we're going to be provided for eternity with our Savior who lives in heaven. He's promised you a mansion in the sky. And our God is one who keeps His promises 100% of the time. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Lord, You are a good Lord. You provide for us not only with our physical needs each and every day, those things we need to survive. But Lord, You ultimately provide us with everlasting life as we're in heaven. So help us now here on earth to put our trust, to put everything that we have, our full trust and devotion to you, Lord, as you have promised to take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated now.